Now, good evening and welcome to Country Life here on Midlands 103. It's MJ Cleary with you for the next hour until 8 p.m, bringing you the latest from the Midlands and further afield from the worlds of agriculture, food and agribusiness. Now, thank you all for joining me this evening on the 21st of December, the shortest day of the year and our last programme here before Christmas. So I'll be back with you in 2 weeks and thankfully evenings would have started to get a little bit longer by then. And we heard a report in the news there about people getting a little bit down with the dark weather at the moment. And the last few weeks has been challenging enough, just trying to get jobs done and trying to get out and get cattle fed and whatnot in those dark evenings. And it will be great in the new year to have a little bit more light. And they say 2 minutes a day over the course of a week, so 14 minutes a week. So you won't feel a few weeks and it will be back to a stretch in the evenings and a slightly longer evening. But obviously in advance of that, we have the festive season and I'm hoping you're all going to have a nice time over the holidays. I'm going to take a little bit of time to relax after a tough year and in advance of a busy spring also. Now, onto this evening's programme and lots in store here for the next hour. The next couple of weeks, as I said, are time to relax and rest in advance of spring, which is just around the corner. And have you thought about a holiday in the new year? You might book something over the Christmas period, perhaps. If you're looking for winter sun, a ski holiday or a city break, then justsplit.com have lots of offers for you. With an office in Port Leash, Nicola York from the programme will join me a little bit later to chat through some of the options. Could be a place for dairy farmers possibly to get rid of a little bit of that excess money that was made in 2022 perhaps. Now, with a forestry plan about to be unveiled for 2023 to 2027, we'll be talking to Jason Fleming from the IFA. With payments of €1,100 per hectare, so that's €440 per acre, and they're available over a 20-year term, so that works out as €8,800 per 20-year term per acre. It's certainly food for thought for someone with marginal land. The previous forestry term was 15 years, so it is a significant increase. The IFA are also looking for this 20-year payment to be made available for farmers who suffered from ash dieback. And we'll chat about this a little bit later here on the programme. Now, with record numbers of people applying for the organic scheme this year, we're talking in and around 4,000 applications. Jack Nolan, head of organics with the Department of Agriculture, will join me later to discuss when will farmers find out if they got accepted, and if they did, and if you are one of those farmers, then what are the next steps in relation to stocking rates and farming practices in advance of going organic. The annual Tullamore Tractor Run takes place this year, and PJ Lynham from the organising committee will join me in a moment to discuss the details of the event. It's their 15th year and PJ comes in every year to have a chat with us, and a lot of money being raised for charity there. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But first, the ICSA held their presidential election last Wednesday night and it resulted in a dead heat. So we have a job sharing agreement in the works, similar to our Taoiseach, Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar. Sean McNamara and Dermot Kelleher are in the job together. We have Westmead man Sean McNamara on the line. Sean, many thanks for taking my call and congratulations on the result last week.
You're quite welcome, MJ. And I'm delighted to have got in the president. It started off in Westmead and it's back now again in Westmead, which is an honour to me.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. And as I said, well done. And you are taking the mantle next year. So it's Dermot for this year, and then you're going to take it the following year. That's the way it's working, is it?
That's the way it's working. I'm Dermot is having for 2023. I'm starting in January 2024.
And I suppose a broad question, Sean, just on it. And I know the presidency doesn't start for a year, but 2023 now in advance, we're seeing that climate action plan has been announced today. I'll be speaking about that in a moment to our listeners. But one of the challenges, biggest challenges you see for cattle and sheep farmers now in 2023, what would you put your finger on?
The biggest problem I can see at the moment with cattle and sheep farmers is that there's not a viable income of it anymore. Years ago, farmers were able to make a viable input, viable living out of it. But now with the cost of inputs, farmers aren't able to make it at the moment. And we'll have to see a big increase in both sheep and cattle for farmers to make a viable income. Otherwise, we're going to lose a generation. We're going to lose the next generation of farmers in our type of industry. That doesn't happen.
In that industry, as I said, Sean, over 4,000 farmers gone for the organic scheme towards the end of the year. For the lowlier stocked cattle and sheep farmers, it seems to be really one of the only viable options at the moment, given the way income has gone. Would you agree with that?
I definitely agree with that. It's like a farmer with enough hectares can come along and up again 22,000 in an organic scheme, have less stock and have more money out of thinking when he's finished. Like, he's more money out of his operation. And that's the way I look at it. It's whatever way you can get the most money out of it is the way I'd be telling farmers. Don't be just keeping a pile of stock just to make no money. If you can get an organic, you can get an extra 20,000 or 15,000, whatever it is, and all the acres and all that, more schemes. Draw as much as you can that way, and you might get more out of the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely, Sean. Just onto the sheep trade for a moment. A bit of a dip there the last few weeks. Where are we at? Obviously, factories closed now for the coming few days, but where are we at the moment?
We're talking about, with groups, you're talking about 660, 670, around 650 is around the general run of it for lambs and about 320 for ewes. It's a lot less than this time last year, and they'd want to be at least 2 euros more for farmers to get hanging over, like, you know what I mean? They want to be at these 850 at the moment, with the cost of inputs, with the price of cereals at the moment, up again 500 euros a ton for fatted lambs. They need to be at least 2 euros to get them more. In the new year, I hope to be going around to talk to all the factories and try and get them at the price. Even some of the factories at the moment know themselves that it's not feasible for farmers to produce lamb with that money.
Reason for that price dip, Sean, versus last year? Are we talking more supply or just not as much demand, or what is it?
Well, there's different reasons out there. One of the reasons is heard in the last week or two that New Zealand was putting a lot of lamb into China, and China has refused to take any more lamb out at the moment, and this is causing a big upheaval. There's 250,000 tonnes that they can put into Europe still left here, and they're supposed to be dumping the land into Europe now at the moment. I don't know how true it is, but that's what I hear them saying anyway. And another thing, their lambs didn't thrive as well this summer for lamb in, and there's a lot of lambs laying in there at the moment, and they're coming on stream at the moment. But I think come January there will be a lift in lambs as far as I can make out.
Yeah, fingers crossed, Sean. Sean, we're going to say many thanks. We say happy Christmas to you, and thanks for joining me here on the programme. We'll be speaking to you in 2023.
Well, very happy Christmas to you, MJ, and all your listeners on the programme, and it's nice talking to you. Thanks very much.
Many thanks. Sean McNamara there from the ICSA. And fingers crossed that lift does come. Those prices really not where we want them to be at the moment, given the price of inputs. And as Sean said, there is that constant supply of lamb this year as a result of that earlier summer lack of thrive. So there is just more. There's more out there at the moment. And as we know, in that game, once we have supply and lots of it, factories will always play with those numbers. Now, we are talking about the Tullamore Tractor Run, and I have to say many thanks to PJ Lynham for coming into the studio and speaking to me. PJ, many thanks for chatting to me here this evening.
Thanks, MJ, for having me in. Delighted to be here.
You're more than welcome, PJ. And I'm just reaching over here behind me to get your little point of sale, your little poster here for today. And I'm seeing in front of me Tullamore Tractor Run in aid of Dorcas Offaly Cancer Support Group. And the big day is Wednesday, 28th of December, 2022. Look, this has become a stalwart in the calendar, PJ, for people who are involved in machinery or tractor runs. And I know you have trucks and you have vintage cars and a big array of things. But it's become a real Christmas tradition, not only in Tullamore, but across Offaly in the Midlands as well.
Rightly so. And the Tullamore Tractor Run is back in full swing this year after the pandemic, and so all guns blazing. And as you say, this is our 15th anniversary tractor run. We're welcoming all tractors, cars, lorries and motorbikes. And I know there is a few rare tractors coming this year, which will be on the display for the first time since their restoration. So that'll be something of great interest to a tractor enthusiast. And last year we had an unbelievable number of drivers and that. And we're even, expecting a greater number this year. So it is always, as you say, it's a great family morning outing. It really has become a spectacular event. And participants come from all over the country to support this great cause.
Yeah, one thing I always say, PJ, when you come in to join us is during Christmas, this is a fantastic, especially for children who live in Tullamore and live in urban settings, for little boys and girls who love to see tractors, and they probably see them on YouTube and on the TV, but you can actually come in the morning and go walk along, see them all in real life. There must be a great buzz around for the small children for that alone.
always is a great buzz for the whole family and indeed the children as well to look around and see all those massive big tractors being driven around, and even the vintage tractors, the smaller tractors, and the cars and the motorbikes and everything else. There's always something for everybody to see. And you know, MJ, when groups of people like that get together, it's a lovely kind of, and especially after the Christmas and everything, is the first kind of outing for everybody there. And again, like, there will be little side shows there to be seen on the day as well. And of course, all the drivers will be asked to come in to register that morning, and entry fees is €25, which they're entitled to breakfast rolls, compliments of John Levy, etc. And if you're not driving a tractor or taking part, like those children and their mums and dads, you could still donate on the day. And so there will be a collection points around the area. And you can donate online. We have a fabulous website, easy to use, including photos and lots of information about the event. So go online at www.tullamoretractorrun.com.
I'm looking as well, TJ, one of the big things is on your poster, over 330,000 raised to date. So it's the 15th annual tractor run, and if we're doing some quick maths, that's over 20,000 every year. That's a huge, huge amount of money, a fantastic amount of money raised over the course of the last 15 years. And I have to say, fair play to you.
It is. It's an awful lot of money. And I remember back a couple of years ago, just before the pandemic, we took in 42,000 one year. But the following year, we only took in 5 because we had no tractor run at all. So it helped. It helped in many ways to extend over that period. But then the following year, which was last year, we took in 25,000. And again, like that, it was a bit of a lockdown as well. So we weren't able to do the auction that night, which was a big loss of between 10 and 15,000. But we're back, as I say, in full guns blazing again. And there are a few things then for sale on the day too. There'll be hats for sale for a fiver. And for the first time, we have a lovely souvenir calendar to celebrate our 15th anniversary. That's on sale there for €10. And it's a fabulous calendar with lots of photographs from previous tractor runs. And again, like that, don't forget, we're going to have this monster auction, which has become very popular. It will take place in the old Harbour Bar that night with many items for sale, including All-Ireland tickets, rugby tickets, vouchers and so on, along with many, many more items. And this is always a great night in the old Harbour Bar with plenty of crack and music. And we already have had a successful hamper draw last weekend. We took in over €3,000. So that's it, MJ. We keep adding to it every year, and please God, we'll get to some like the same figure again or even more. And of course, as you mentioned, Docus there. Docus, of course, is our main charity, and all of this great effort is for one reason only, and that is to raise very much needed fund for Docus Offaly Cancer Support Group based here in Tullamore. They provide a great service, a very, very important high service. It's a high quality holistic services they provide through the Midlands and beyond, and also for all the cancer patients and their families. So we're asking everyone to support this great cause. We have raised, as you said, over €330,000 so far for cancer care.
Fantastic stuff. Peter, look, a great piece of promo there, I have to say. And if you're interested in attending after that, you definitely will. It's on Wednesday, 28th of December 2022. So this day next week. And you can register online at www.tullamoretractorrun.com. That's all one word, Tullamore Tractor Run. Peter, I'm going to say many thanks for joining me this evening. And look, no doubt you're going to have a very successful evening, day and evening again this time next week.
And just one last thing, MJ, before I leave you, and that's the details of the route, because everybody is very interested in the route itself, because there are people who line the roads as well, so it's important just to mention it. And this year, thank the Gardaí for allowing us. We're going right up through the town this year, with the convoy, so people can line the street and see what's happening. Of course, the drivers love driving through the town as well. And so we'll be turning right at the railway station, out the Rahan Road, Clara Road, and left at Coolnahiley, and left at Ballykilmurry Cross, and back to the Rahan Road. And for any more details about the tractor run, you can contact our chairman man, Mick Waters, at 087-402-3873. And if I could take one final thing, just this one opportunity to thank you and thank all the people, and especially our hard working committee and their families and all our friends and volunteers who, without their help and assistance, this major event would not be possible. And to the Garda, Tullamore Tribune, local businesses, Offaly County Council and Midlands 103 MJ.
More than welcome, PJ, and thank you very much. And that, as I said, is the Tullamore Tractor Run taking place this day week. And we're moving on to holidays, because as we know, this time of the year is a time when farmers take breaks. And I have Nicola York from JustSplit.com. Nicola, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thanks so much. Thanks for asking me on.
You're more than welcome, Nicola. And as I said at the inset, the summer is a time people associate with holidays a lot. However, for the farming community and dairy farmers in particular, early January is the busy time. Something I'm sure you're well used to in your business, Nicola.
Yeah, we are busy all year round, and we do actually have a lot of dairy farmer clients as well. And we find they literally just have that gap to go away. So in the winter time, obviously with flights from Ireland, we don't really, and if they're only going to go for like a week or 2 weeks, there's certain destinations that you need to go to get the most of your time as well. So
yeah, and we'll talk about a few different options now. So we'll get going with a little bit of winter sun, and our closest destination for winter sun, people quite familiar with it, but we're talking the Canary Islands. And what are we talking about temperature wise this time of the year, Nicola? Say you were to go New Year's Day 1st through to the 7th of January, what are you guaranteed reasonable temperatures?
Yeah, I suppose like the Canary Islands would be the closest destination from Ireland on a direct flight, and it's only a four and a half hour flight. So temperature wise, depending on which island that you choose, you could be anything from 17 to 23 degrees.
Yeah, big increase in what we're dealing with here at the moment. Say then, if we're looking at prices for something like that, if we have a standard family, two adults, two children, and I know asking your prices is kind of like asking you how long a piece of string is, depending on quality of hotels and quality of everything, but a broad spectrum price, what's the rough estimate for us for a week in the Canary Islands all in?
Yeah, like, I suppose, like, yeah, you've just said it. So, like, it depends on what the price is at that stage. So, to give you a ballpark, say, Tenerife for 2+2 in January, you're looking about, December, it's about €3,000. Now, that would be flights, accommodation, transfers. Now, if you brought that back into January, you'd see your probably price come down to about 2.5 or so.
Yeah, very good. And yeah. A farmer's quite active, and sometimes a sun holiday may not be exactly what they want. Grant for maybe a day or two, but then people start getting a little bit bored. And obviously skiing is something that people are hugely interested in, especially if people have an outside affinity. And skiing holidays are something that have become more and more popular in the last few years. So if we're talking about skiing, where do you send people, Nicola? Where's the most proximate with reasonable chance of good snow?
Yeah, and I suppose ski is a different kettle of fish again, because obviously you have your beginners, your advanced, your intermediate skiers, and then some of the transfers are quite long too as well. So when somebody comes in to me, I would probably ask a lot of questions, as in, would you like the nightlife? Is it après ski? If you have kids with you, do you need babysitters? Do you need a kids club, a teens club? So again, it depends on the individual and how nice or luxurious they want the property. Do they want a no-frills property? Do they want a hotel, say, with a spa, swimming pool, hot tubs, that type of thing? Just to give you an idea, I did a quote today for you for, say, the Sport Hotel Hermitage. That would be in Saldu. This particular hotel is a walk straight to the gondola. You have your pool, your sauna, your hot tub. And Saldu, the resort, is actually a lovely resort for beginners and intermediate. And it's a really small village too as well. And literally from one end of the town to the other, it's only like literally a 10-minute walk. But price-wise on that, say for 2+2 under 12. And the prices I'm obviously giving are flights, accommodation and transfers. And this particular hotel will be on B&B, but it was working in about 6,316 for a family.
Yeah, very good. And yeah. I've never been on a ski holiday myself, Nicola, but you mentioned the après ski, and I like the sound of that the best of it all. What time does the après ski kick off at? When does that start?
I suppose it depends on the individual, really. Some of them would start at lunchtime and they would go well into the night too as well. But again, like, it's not all about the operating ski, I suppose. Like, there's little villages out there, and we do have customers that come in with their family and don't want to ski. So there is plenty of shops and bars and restaurants and boutiques and so forth too as well. So there's a good variety for everybody.
Yeah, very good. And for people who may not want to go for an entire week, as you say, look, might have small children and may not be in a position to go, or maybe might be able to get a babysitter for a couple of days, and maybe it would be more something suited to a couple. A city break, something which is always very, very enjoyable. Go for 2 or 3 days and come back revitalised and refreshed. Where are you offering to people, or where are you saying, look, good place, early January, we're recommending here?
Yeah, again, city breaks are absolutely brilliant, so you can turn them in from 2 nights to 4 nights. And for example, Prague is absolutely amazing. It's really, really good value at the moment. Prague, the 8th to the 12th of January, and the hotels in Prague are really, really good standard too as well. I did actually have my cousin in Prague there a couple of weeks ago, and the hotel was right beside a Penny's. So all those Penny people out there, off you go and shop. Prague is actually a lovely destination, as in there's lots to see and do. You've got the castle, you've got the old square. Eating out is absolutely brilliant. Obviously, with anywhere, if you eat in the main square, you're going to be charged quite high prices. But in regard to off-site streets, it's really, really good value for eating out and drinking too as well. If it was a family that came in to eat, then you've got a different sort of ball game happening. So Barcelona will be probably one of my favourites for family. There's so much to see and do. You've got basically the maritime area, the aquariums. You've got all the sites and the Catalonia area, Las Ramblas. And the nice thing about Barcelona as well, you can go for 2 or 3 nights. And actually, a lot of the cruise ships will go out from Barcelona too as well if you fancy the mini cruise. But if it's a case where you want to hop on the train, literally about an hour down on the train, you're going to come to Salou, which is Costa Dorada. And there you've got the big, huge Port Ventura theme park, which is absolutely brilliant too as well. So there's lots to do in Barcelona as well.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. And you mentioned a cruise there, and obviously we all had World Cup fever for the last month, and congratulations to Argentina with their victory. I think the whole world was behind Argentina and Messi. But cruises out in that part of the world, you do have something on offer in that region.
Yeah, so cruise, again, I think a lot of people are afraid to go the cruise. And cruises are absolutely brilliant. They are pretty much a floating hotel. And if you think you're stopping off in different destinations every single day, cruises, most of the ships are deployed back to the Caribbean in January. But a few of the ships hang around in actually United Arab Emirates. So there is a cruise going out with MSC. She has a brand new ship, MSC World. She's just being launched, and they start a cruise from Doha, which is Qatar, actually, which is where the World Cup was. And the itinerary on this is absolutely brilliant. It does 2 nights in Dubai, it's Abu Dhabi, and actually, there's a lot of stuff to see in all these destinations. So Dubai, you've got Dubai Mall, you can do desert safaris, and for example, Abu Dhabi, you've got Ferrari World, which is absolutely brilliant. And then actually MSC have their own island called Cervantes Island, which is absolutely amazing. So you can spend a day there. You can go basically paddleboarding, kayaking, horse riding. So it's a bit of an adventure too as well, if that makes sense, you know what I mean? So the cruises are absolutely brilliant. Again, flights, accommodation, transfers. I just priced this one up on 2 adults, and that was coming in about 3.7 all in.
Oh yeah, it's not bad.
Which is very good. Yeah,
it's good value.
And a brand new ship as well, so.
Oh, fantastic stuff. Look, Nicola, lots of food for thought there, I have to say. Fantastic rundown. And you're justsplit.com. You have an office in Portlaoise, so anyone in the Midlands looking to get away for a break in the early days of the new year, you're the woman to speak to. And I'm going to say many thanks for joining me here on the programme, Nicola, and have a happy Christmas.
Thanks so much. Thank you. You too. Take care. Thank you.
Nicola York there from justsplit.com. And lots and lots of options there, I have to say. And Nicola mentioned the value out in Prague. In Prague a number of years ago, and fantastic value out in that part of the world. Krakow as well. Been in Krakow at the Euros back in 2016. And I've probably gone up a little bit now. That's what, 4 or 5, 6 years ago. But I remember just being astounded at the value in comparison to this part of the world. So if you're looking for value, definitely out there. And Nicola mentioned Ferrari World. It's out in Doha. or out in that part of the world. I actually saw this online. It's an enormous building and it's all about Ferraris. It looks like a spaceship. It looks like something out of this world. And there's so much to see and do in that part of the world as well. No question about it. So lots of food for thought there for potential holidays for the start of 2023. Now, before I move on, the Farmers Journal tomorrow is leading with Climate Action Plan, Farmers to be Pushed Away from Livestock. So the Climate Action Plan has just come out today. Basically, it's about our carbon over the course of the next number of years, and there was lots of hypotheses about what may occur over the course of these years, but it's actually in a document now, going to have details in the Farmers Journal tomorrow. But the big headline topics are farmers to be incentivized away from livestock production towards tillage. Which is interesting. Tillage area set to increase from 348,000 to 400,000 hectares. So increase there of well over 100,000 acres. That's the plan. A plan for over 12,800 organic farmers by 2030. So we're going to be talking to Jack Nolan about organic farming in just a moment. And also the big one is 20 large-scale anaerobic digestion plants needed by 2025. Now, that's all well and good building them, but these are ran on slurry and on silage. So especially the silage, where is it going to come from for 20 large-scale anaerobic digestion plants? There's definitely going to have to be a decrease in livestock if there's going to be enough silage to feed them. And obviously, that's something we're going to be talking a lot about come the new year. Planning in a few minutes with Tim Cullinan from the IFA in 2 weeks' time in relation to that. They came out with a statement on it today. And we're moving on to organics, and we have the Department of Agriculture's Jack Nolan on the line. Jack, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Thanks very much, MJ, for having me.
More than welcome, Jack. Now, huge uptake on the organics scheme towards the back end of the year, Jack, when it was opened over the course of that 6 or 7 week period. Can you give us an idea of the numbers that applied, please?
So, yeah, so we had, say, about 1,350 people that were coming to the end of their contract. And out of that, 95% reapplied. So that's brilliant. You know, mm-hmm. the people that have been organic for the last 5 years want to stay organic. And then brand new applications, we have 2,100 all over the country.
Well,
so
okay.
Compared to this time last year, there were about 1,700 farmers in the country farming organically. From the 1st of January next, we'll have around 4,100. So it's gone up by 150% in a year. And I was listening to Sean earlier on, and sure, what he's saying is the truth. Like, you have to look at what money can you get in, can you guarantee to come into the farm every year? And that's what people are doing with organics. They're looking at it that they're going to reduce their input costs, they're going to get the premium from the government to farm organically, and they're going to keep farming. And that's fine, but the bottom line is better for farmers in organics.
The people who applied then, Jack, look, the news is reasonably good. Obviously, you can't 100% say that everyone will get in, but it's looking fairly good that if you applied, yeah, you're going to get the nod.
So anyone that applied, like, we have 2,100 to work through, and what we hope is early in the new year we'll be writing to them to say we have to check their area and that, you know, their stock and everything. Anyone that's eligible, Minister Hackett said it last Friday, anyone that's eligible for the scheme will get in. So it's not like, you know, there's going to be people turned away. If you're eligible, you're going to be in the scheme, which is great news for everyone that applied.
Yeah. So say, for example, then, Jack, someone applied, maybe not going to say without doing a lot of research, but mightn't have a huge skill set of knowledge in relation to organic farming. And they carry, you know, a reasonable stocking rate of whatever it is. Maybe it's suckler cows, and they carry maybe a cow an acre, if you will, and sell off weanlings. For the likes of that farmer then, if they get the nod and they're gone organic now come 2023, what's the kind of protocol? Are they going to have to cut stock to an amount in order to be able to make enough silage? Is it going to be a complete digression from what they're currently doing? Or how's it going to work, I suppose?
An awful lot of farmers cut back on fertiliser this year. And I was talking to Co-op today here. It's €800 a tonne for can and €950 for 10, 10, 20. If you want to forward, buy it here in Wexford at the minute. So, you know, you'd see why people cut back. It depends on the amount of clover you have there and the amount of grass that you're able to grow and how much nitrogen you used last year and phosphorus. You need soil samples. You know, you'd have to have soil samples, make sure the pH is right. But a lot of farmers are able to maintain their stocking rate. If you're unsure, you probably should cut back a little bit because you don't want to be running out of grass in the middle of the summer. But no, there won't be drastic changes. Just, you need to be a good grassland manager. You know, manage the grass, rotate the stock, get the clover going in it, like, and clover can replace up to 3 bags of can an acre. If you get the lime right, that's worth up to 3 or 4 bags an acre as well. So if you do those things right, you should be able to continue as you are, because a lot of the people that came into organics probably aren't stocked up the way of derogation anyway. You know, there's not many dairy farmers after coming in, I'd say. So, but you need to be managing what you're doing, and you need to make out a plan for the year. Make sure that you're going to be good at grass rotation. And that's it.
On average, Jack, would you say, and I don't expect you to know a figure off the top of your head for this, but would you say farmers that are in organics are, you know, lowly stocked, if you will? Would it be something like maybe a cow to a couple of acres, or like in general, would you have an idea?
It depends on where you are in the country. So we're after seeing almost two-thirds, one-third uptake from the west, say two-thirds, and from the east, one-third. Mm. And the farmers in the east, you know, the land, they're getting less rainfall, the land is probably agronomically better, and they are higher stocked. They might be up at, if you talk about kilos per hectare nitrogen, they might be up at 130 or 40 kilos per hectare.
Yeah, okay.
You know, the good organic farmers that are up and running, and there's plenty of those around Leash, around Offaly, Kilkenny. They had farm walks last summer. And then there's farmers in the west that are stocked at a yo to the hectare, because that's all their land can take. You know, people with a big run of commonage and some lowland as well. So it all depends on the part of the country you're in. But you don't have to cut back because you become organic. It all depends on the amount of grass and the type of soil that you're on.
The next question, Jack, and I put this to Minister Hack as well. I had her on back maybe a month or 6 weeks ago, and she ensured me there was, and I'm sure you're going to say the same, but great, all farmers going to go organic. That means all these farmers are going to be producing organic beef and sheep and whatever the case may be. A market then for it all. Look, we're seeing supermarkets squeezing the price of beef on the shelves. They do it regularly. They have it as a last leader to sell it below cost. What's going to stop them doing the same with organic produce?
Sure, it's impossible to stop them, to be honest. You know, like, there's control there. But what you have, no matter what way you look at it, like, you listened to Sean earlier on there, he was saying what you have to do is maximise the money that's coming into the house first. Mm. You're going to cut down on your input costs, things like fertiliser, and the base price for organic is the same as any other animal. But at the minute, say, I think heifers are getting around 5.10 or 5.20 at the minute, and organics are getting around 5.90. The organic price list is put out by Good Herdsman. As we get more cattle, at the moment there's only one buyer for organic cattle. As we get more cattle into the system, other factories will become interested. We were in Germany last summer at BioFac. It's the biggest organic trade fair in the world. And they said, look, at any amount of beef, lamb, salmon, cheese you can get over here from Ireland, we'll buy it. So there is guaranteed a demand there.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, fantastic stuff. And look, in fairness to Jack, I have to say, fair play for an honest answer in relation to the supermarkets, because, look, they'd be my sentiments as well. And what you're saying is very valid. You know, maximise the amount of money you're getting in, as Sean said at the outset, as all sheep and beef farmers need to do. Get as many payments as you can, and then crack on and sell your cattle. Keep your input costs low, and, you know, do your best. You really can't do much more in this climate.
I was looking at, you know, the National Farm Survey that Chagas do every year. It's a survey of farmers to work out the average income. And according to that, cattle-rearing farmers are getting 140% of their income from subsidies. So they're not even holding on to the subsidies that they're getting. Mm. Other cattle, like people finishing cattle, they're getting 90%, and sheep are the same. So people aren't making, they're not making an income from their output at the minute. It's just, it takes a mindset change is the biggest thing, to accept that you don't need to be spending a heap of money every year on fertiliser. Like, if you think, the prices I said earlier, if you bought one bag of can per acre and one bag of 10-10-20, you're going to be spending €90 an acre, you know, on that much fertiliser. And that can easily be replaced with clover, with red clover for silage, with white clover for the grass. I don't know up your way, MJ, how many people sowed multi-species grass, but it's fantastic because you have chicory and plantain. It's good for animal health and the clover, you know, and it's producing in some places 12 tonne of dry matter per hectare. But farmers need to think about what they're doing. I suppose what they could be doing over Christmas, like, it was brilliant, Nicola talking about the holidays. I hope everyone has a nice break and a safe break. You know, particularly farmers, they're very vulnerable to poor health and also to not minding themselves. But they really need to sit down and go through their accounts. Like, everybody submitted their accounts there in November and see, did you hold on? Because people don't believe it. Did they hold on to all their basic payment this year and their ANC and their glass? And if they didn't, what are going to change next year? Because what we want is people to come in. Like, we want people to come in informed into organics, that they understand what they're getting into. So we'd like, over the next couple of months, the scheme will be open again next October. But over the next couple of months, they should go to a meeting, an information meeting about organics, and go to a couple of organic farms and see how they're getting on in it. You know, talk to other farmers. That's the best way to find out. Because it's fine for me or the likes of me to talk, but you really need to talk to the people on the ground. And we think in the next year this is going to double again. So, like, we have 4,000 starting on the 1st of January. By this time next year, we could be at 8,000. Yeah. Because there's an awful lot of people out there that are suitable, but it's in their head. They really have to be happy and content, and they have to make a plan about what they're doing. And the scheme will be there again in October to come into. But I would ask them to take the time to find out about it, because it's a big decision. You know, it's a change in the farming system.
I'm going to say thanks a million, Jack. No doubt, look, I'll be speaking to you again in 2023. Great run down there, and have a happy Christmas and a safe new year.
Thanks very much, MJ. Happy Christmas, everybody. Take care. Bye.
Jack Nolan there from the Department of Agriculture. And look, very, very hard to argue what Jack is saying there on all of those different areas. Input costs for beef and sheep farmers. We heard Sean McNamara talking about it at the moment. You want €2 extra a kilo pretty much at the moment on sheep. And look, with beef farmers, it wouldn't be far off the same. Farmers Journal did figures back 6 weeks ago as to what you'd want to be a winter finisher. And the figures are a long way off. The important thing is, though, as Jack said there, to look at your individual enterprise and your holding and see what suits you, see what works for you. And you may have off-farm employment, and it may suit you to have an high input system or a finishing system where you buy older cattle and you finish them off a lot of meal just because you have a shed there and it works for you. And if that's the case, that's okay. But if you are in a system that isn't working for you and you're not making the bottom line, then it's always important to think outside the box. And it is a mindset change. There is no question about it. But an interesting point he made was, do you need to spend that huge volume of money in order to make, you know, that small amount of money? Could you make that small amount of money by spending a smaller amount of money? Spending a smaller amount of money usually means spending less time as well. And as we know, that's the most important commodity we have. We're going to be speaking about forestry now for the next few minutes. We've Jason Fleming on the line from the IFA. Jason, many thanks for taking my call this evening.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Ginger.
You're more than welcome, Jason. So there's a new forestry programme for 2023 through to 2027. There was a consultation process which is now closed. So do we know the exact particulars of this new programme now, Jason, or is it still a little up in the air?
Yeah, we've a fair idea. There was a good share of the figures leaked there before the 29th. I suppose I got through one or two of the figures, the likes of the thickest spruce, which was the most common tree in the country. It was 510 per hectare. It's gone up to 750 now per hectare. The native woodland trees, which are the most common up your own way, it was 665, and it's now just one over 1,100 per hectare. So, and that's off from January the 1st. But something had to be done, I thought.
And just on that, Jason, we'll move on to the dieback just in 1 second. And I don't mean to stop you now or be rude, but just so listeners are clear. So the Sitka spruce, we're talking 750 an acre, and then our native trees.
Per hectare.
And native woodland, we're 1,100 per hectare. But the big thing is we're gone from 15 years to 20 years for the payment, Jason. That's a big increase.
Yes, what we were pushing for a farmer non-farmer differential, and we were very happy about that as well. We have a 5 year gap now, where the farmer's getting 20 years of a premium and the non-farmer's getting 15, which is, look, I think it should be a bit more than that, but at least there is a differential there now with five years, and I think it should be the same with the premium, but we didn't get that. Also, I thought what came in there on with the last week as well is there was support for the forest roads. And extra support for the fencing as well. So all these things help when it comes to planting. Yeah.
Do you feel the differential then between the Sitka and the native trees of that €350 per hectare is going to push people over to the natives, or will your land quality really determine what you're going to sow regardless, Jason?
Land quality is before, obviously, to see is it suitable for native woodland trees. But the problem with the native woodland trees is that they're a long-term project. I mean, you're talking 80, 90, 100 years plus in cases. As far as the Sitka spruce, you know, it's around the 30, 35 years rotation, which is from a farmer's point of view is more viable. And secondly, the replanting as well is a big. See, the problem with the replanting, we're trying to get that relaxed. There should be a relaxation on the replanting obligation, because once you plant, it's there for generations. It's as simple as that. And that has to be relaxed.
Also, Jason, when we're talking about these new terms and conditions, you feel that the people struggling, struggling maybe not the wrong word, the people who had the really unfortunate experience with ash dieback need to be accommodated in this way also.
100%, yeah. Look, the ash dieback, you know, have to go to ash dieback farmers. The crop, the plant of the crop, the crop died, no fault of their own. Like I said, they're planted in good state and they're dealing with a dead crop now. And even to take the crop out, and the department have an IUA scheme, which is, they call a compensation scheme, but it's not a compensation scheme because all it's covering is the, it was covering the replanting and the digging and the groundwork, we call it. But now with the price of everything got up, it's not even covering that. So we're hoping that we're pushing for is that they get that 20 years of 1,100 for the perfect acre for the replanting of the ash. And secondly, I suppose the department, they'll have to come good in this. I mean, they're expecting the same cohort of farmers to plant again. And look, if you're dealing with a dead crop, you're not going to be more than planting unless they've been seen after, these ash dieback farmers, yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Jason, I'm going to say many thanks. It was a short piece we had. They were a little bit short on time, but we must get you back in 2023 and we'll speak on forestry again. But many thanks for joining me this evening and giving us the rundown on those figures.
Just one quick thing, Minja, before you go. We are holding a conference on ash dieback in the first week of February next year, and we'd be hoping that all farmers, affected farmers, it show up and we'll be promoted over the next couple of weeks. Okay.
Very good. Many thanks, Jason. And we will promote that here on the programme in advance of that first week of February. And as Jason said, it's hard to go out to anyone that suffered with ash dieback, as would mine. Nothing as bad as something like that. And the fact you couldn't go near it for a long period of time as well was the real stumbling block in relation to it. So definitively, that payment for the 20 years, totally necessary. That is it for this evening's programme. I'm going to say many thanks to all of my guests. Jason Fleming there from the IFA. We had Jack Nolan from the Department of Agriculture. Just before that, we had Nicola York from JustSplit.com talking about potential holidays for early days of 2023. And at the start of the hour, we had Sean McNamara, newly elected president, co-president of the ICSA, along with Dermot Kelleher, and PJ Lynham was talking about the Tullamore tractor run, which is taking place this day week. Now, that's the last programme for 2022. And many thanks for joining me every week here over the course of the year. And I really mean that. Many thanks when you join me and listen in. And we'll be back to you in 2 weeks' time in 2023 with a new programme for the start of the new year, where we'll be talking about a lot of climate action things to discuss over the course of the first few weeks of 2023. As always, the show is repeated on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. We're available on all your podcast platforms. So wherever you get us, if you type in MJ space Cleary, C-L-E-R-Y, we will pop up. And I wish you a very happy Christmas and a healthy new year. And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks' time. Good night and God bless.